The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 18, text number 65. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on April 21st, 2017, in Pune, India.
So, tonight we have a special lecture entitled, To Not Be a Charlatan Meditator. What does the title of the lecture imply? It implies we have a problem in the world right now called charlatan meditators. Many people think they are meditating, but they're not actually meditating on the transcendental platform. They may think they're meditating, but they're not actually meditating. That's one class of charlatan meditators. The others are those present themselves as great masters of meditation, and they attract so many followers, but they don't know really how to meditate, you see. So that's why this material society is sometimes called the society of the cheaters and the cheetah. There's the charlatan meditator gurus and the charlatan meditator students. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Just like one guru, the disciple said, oh, Guru Maharaj is so humble. He never says, Aham Brahmasmi, I am God. He only says, Tattvamasmi, you are God. He tells all the disciples, they are God, you see. And they, oh, Guru Maharaj is so humble. He never claims to be God. He only tells us that we are God, you see. This is called charlatan meditator, you see. This is especially in India, we're up against this. Prabhupada said, India is a mystic factory, and every day they manufacture another bogus incarnation. So we have to beware of these charlatan meditators who claim that I'm God, you're God, we're all God. We have to understand the science of God, not from a charlatan, but from God Himself, you see. God Himself is the authority. And those who speak according to the teachings of God, they are authorities. Those who concoct their own version, which is different from what God teaches, they are charlatans. So we have to beware of the charlatans. I was a disciple of one of these Indian charlatan gurus, and it didn't work. He gave me one mantra. So I was chanting, nothing happened. It's like an airplane on the runway, you know, trying to take off, you know, and there was no liftoff. You see? That's called charlatan meditator. But luckily I found a guru who actually teaches me how to get off the material plane. That was Prabhupada. Prabhupada is different from these charlatan meditators because he presents Bhagavad Gita as it is. If Krishna says, surrender to me, Prabhupada says, surrender to Krishna. You see? The charlatan says, don't surrender to Krishna. Surrender to the unborn, the unmanifest. You see? But that's not what Krishna says. Krishna says, manmanabhava madbhakto majaji mang namaskaru mammai vashasya yogvayavang atmanang madpanayana. How many times he says, me? Manmanabhava madbhakto, he says, surrender. Think, absorb yourself in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Become completely absorbed in me. Me, 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 me. Krishna says again and again. And they say, oh, not to Krishna. This is charlatan, you see. Krishna again and again says, me, me, me. And they say, oh, not to Krishna. You see. If I say, bring me a glass of water, does that mean I want you to dump it over the edge of the railing over there? Or you want me to bring it to me? You see? And someone says, me, it means the person. They say, oh, God is not a person. So how does he can say me, me, me again and again? How does an in-person say me? You ever heard an in-person say me? I or me? Like maybe this pillar right here? Because I'm really hot today. Can you turn the fan on me? Does the pillar ever talk to you and say, it's so hot, can you turn the fan on me today? No. Impersons don't speak. So if God is impersonal, how he can speak Bhagavad Gita? You see, it's completely illogical. So instead of hearing from these charlatan meditators, these bogus gurus who are going to hell and taking their followers with them, we need to hear from the bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master will deliver you from the cycle of birth and death. That's a fact. These charlatans will take you to the lower regions of the universe. They will go to hell and they'll take you to hell with them. What do you want? You want to wake up with Krishna in the spiritual world, or you want to wake up in hell with your charlatan guru with his nice long beard? They think, well, the more long the beard is and the longer his hair is, the more he must be realized in the absolute truth. In ISKCON, Prabhupada said, we say clean shaven. After we take Diksha, we may have a beard in the beginning, but when we take Diksha, we are clean shaven. That's our standard given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Clean shaven. Not the beards, you see. So, I've been asked, the topic was so nice, I just had to talk on the topic for a while. But now, well, there's also a verse, and the verse reinforces the topic. Bhagavad Gita, 1865. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manmana Bhavabhad Bhakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru Mamme Vaishashi Satyang Te Pratijane Priyosime Manmana Bhavabhad Bhakto Majaji Mam Namaskuru Mamme Vaishashi Satyang Te Pratijane Priyosime. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times Krishna's talking about me. Actually, 6. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer homage unto me, you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So this impersonal idea doesn't work. Krishna is clearly saying me, 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 I. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of Him and act for Him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend of Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. The very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. These are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to the other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayana, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed by Arjuna, disclosed to Arjuna, because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitam Cha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. So what does it mean that you get to serve, be with Krishna face to face? If there's thousands and millions of devotees in the spiritual world, that means Krishna manifests himself for every devotee. It's like there may be a big hall, you know, a big crowd of 1,000 people hearing the lecture. But face to face implies being very close. It's like I'm sitting very close and we're looking face to face, you see. But face to face for the whole crowd is different. So actually it's described how Krishna manifests you have your own Krishna. That's my point. In the spiritual world, every devotee, just like every queen had her own Krishna, in the spiritual world, every devotee has Krishna all to themselves, because they've fully given themselves to Krishna. Krishna fully gives himself to them. So when Prabhupada says Krishna face to face, that has a very deep meaning. It means you have an intimate relationship with Krishna. Not, you know, from a distance. You have to look at him through a pair of binoculars, because there's millions, so many millions of devotees. You can't get close to him. It's not like that at all. It's very intimate, your relationship with Krishna. It's interesting to know, of course, we have different forms of Krishna, even in our altars. Some temples have Lord Ram. But here Prabhupada is saying we should focus on Krishna. That particular form is very, very dear. Of course, other forms we also. But especially this form, that's what we're most interested in. Form of Krishna playing. It's interesting, Prabhupada says the original form of Krishna, and he says, as the one seen on the chariot before Arjuna. That's an interesting point also. And that's not the flute-playing Krishna, although he's non-different. Just like in Delhi, you have Krishna with a flute in Radharani, and he's called Partasarathi. So it's the same Krishna. So, how do we get out of our present deluded condition of trying to enjoy this material world to get to that point of pure bhakti? You see, this is the whole essence of our training program. We can study so many theoretical concepts, so many interesting concepts about this lila and that pastime or this quality. But the real bottom line of the whole thing is we have to become absorbed in pure devotion. We have to conquer the lower self by the higher self. That's the real bottom line. You may memorize so many verses, but if you're still lusty, greedy, and angry, what has your memorization done for you? Is it? Better to know one verse and be a pure devotee than maybe a million verses and be a show bottle. The most important thing is we learn how to conquer. Vatsha vegam manasatrodha vegam jiva vegam mudaropasta vegam etan vehan yobisha hetadera sarvamapi mampritipim shishya. One who can conquer mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. This is the caliber of devotees we want in this movement. Those who are qualified to make disciples all over the world. That's the caliber. By fully conquering the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. The mind, this is a very good verse. Conquering the mind, this is very good. Always think of Krishna. Worship Him, offer homage unto Him. Become His devotee. Well, how do you become the devotee of Krishna? You have to become the devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna will never accept. Confirmed in the Adi Purana, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas te jana, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. So I'm a devotee of Krishna, but I'm not accepting any spiritual master. I don't, these ISKCON gurus, you know, I'm not interested. I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. Well, guess what? Krishna doesn't accept you. Unless you agree to become the devotee of the devotee. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, that means you're not really a devotee of Krishna, because that's what Krishna says in the Adi Purana. Unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So if you truly want to be the devotee of Krishna, then you have to become the devotee of the devotee. Otherwise, you're not a devotee. Understand? Well, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. I won't accept a guru. That means you're not really a devotee of Krishna, because Krishna clearly says, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So our really saying is become a devotee of Krishna, but you have to understand the science of how to become the devotee of Krishna. One has to know this science. You want to drive a car, you have to know the science. You don't put your foot on the brake when you want to accelerate the car. You don't put your foot on the accelerator when you want to stop the car. You understand? You have to know what you're doing when you get in a car, otherwise you'll kill yourself. In a similar way, you have to know what you're doing when you take up bhakti. You have to follow the authorized system coming from Krishna and the great acharyas. That's how you become self-realized. That's how you get free of all anxieties. You cannot concoct your own so-called bhakti. You may fool the foolish people of the world, but you won't fool Krishna by your so-called devotion. You may be celebrated as a great meditator, Swami this or Yogi that, but if you don't have bhakti, you are nowhere. If you don't have genuine bhakti, you are nowhere. So here in ISKCON, in Prabhupada's movement, we are teaching genuine bhakti according to Bhagavad Gita. Anything taught outside of this scope of Bhagavad Gita, it's nonsense. You say, well, isn't there some higher truth in Bhagavad Gita? No. Krishna says, I shall now declare to you this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous, this being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So if you can simply master Bhagavad Gita, you become the most highly elevated transcendentalist. You can simply master the knowledge and the application of Bhagavad Gita, you become the highest level transcendentalist, bhakta. So there's some questions I can answer. Try to answer them. There's two left over from this morning. So I'll take them first. Due to intimacy, I find fault or lose respect to superiors and mind also becomes very violent, then how to overcome the mind? Even Prabhupada mentions it in a marriage, for example, in Bhagavatam. Marriage means there's intimacy but also great respect. If there's intimacy and the respect is not there, then it becomes familiarity, which leads to contempt. You can have intimacy and closeness, that's all right, but you can never abandon great respect. If you abandon that, then it's familiarity that breeds contempt. So intimacy, fine. Familiarity, no. Always keep that respect. Intimacy is good, but familiarity means no respect. So always keep that respect and you'll be in good shape. If I follow the instructions of authority, I get a lot of opposition from the mind. How to execute the instructions? Beat your mind with shoes 100 times in the morning and 100 times with broomstick at night. Figuratively, not literally. Because your mind's subtle, you can't really touch it physically. Krishna says, meditate upon me. If not possible, then follow the rules and develop attachment. How do these rules help in developing attachment? Well, if you follow the rules and regulations of bhakti, it means you give up illicit sex, you give up meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. You give up those things which are material attachments. And by doing that, then you actually have, by purifying yourself, by giving up your sinful activities, then you become, your mind becomes peaceful and more able to focus on Krishna. As soon as we hear the word nationalism, we think it as Dehatma Buddhi or bodily consciousness. The nationalism in India is connected to Krishna consciousness. Really? Is that true? What's your national anthem here? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How you can say nationalism is attached to Krishna consciousness? I don't see that when I, you know, the Indian government is promoting Krishna consciousness. As we see in the Juhu temple, saved by nationalists, Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness should enter into politics also. Now, nationalism is not very important, but Krishna, we want Krishna conscious government, that's the thing. We want a Krishna conscious leader in every country of the world. Someone who's purely following Srila Prabhupada should be Prime Minister here in the UK, President of the United States should be a follower of Prabhupada. We want that, we want. But we're not interested in nationalism. We're interested in Krishna consciousness. Actually, in the Vedic times, there was no nationalism. There was only one, the whole planet was under one rule from India, Hastinapur. The whole planet was one country, you see, one nation. That's what we want. We want one planetary civilization. Politically, yes. We want there should be a Krishna conscious ruler who rules the entire planet Earth. And why not the whole universe? If we expand it even further, at least this planet for now. Then we can think about the whole universe later on. Let's make this whole planet under one Krishna conscious leader, that would be very good. That's the nationalism we want. One nation under Krishna, whole planet, one nation. How to overcome envy? Use it in Krishna's service. It's like I joined this movement, I became a disciple out of envy. I saw the devotees were tasting more bliss than me. I didn't want to be outdone by the devotees, so out of envy I surrendered to Prabhupada. I couldn't stand that they were tasting more nectar than me, so I wanted to get the nectar too out of envy. I was envious of the devotees, so I did. So I must also surrender, yes. I don't want to be outdone by these devotees. Prabhupada actually wrote me about envy one time, a letter also. He says, spiritual envy means when you see that somebody is pleasing Krishna more than you, you try harder so Krishna will notice you also. So that's Prabhupada's direct order, next instruction to Sankarshan Das in one letter. How to become Krishna conscious when we get angry? You should be angry at your nonsense. Become angry at your own nonsense. That you have not yet surrendered to Krishna. Even though you've heard a million times the benefit of surrendering to Krishna, you have not done so yet. You should be angry at yourself. Why are you such a rascal? You're not surrendering to Krishna. You should chastise yourself for being such a rascal. You haven't fully surrendered to Krishna yet. That's what you do with your anger. Channel to yourself. And we can also chastise the atheists. You can also use anger to chastise the atheists and the impersonalists. I used anger one time very effectively in Krishna's service. It was a wonderful day, a beautiful day in Gainesville, Florida. I was out passing out Simply Wonderfuls to everybody up and down the street. I had a nice basket full of Simplys. It was wonderful giving Simply Wonderfuls to everyone. I was really in bliss. One smart aleck hippie, he decided he was really going to get that Hare Krishna. He took his hand and he hit the basket and knocked all the Simply Wonderfuls out in the street. So what are you supposed to do is say, well, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot. No. I just used anger in Krishna's service. I didn't lose my temper, but I made a show of anger. I was formerly a drama student and studying to be an actor. So anyway, I went like this. Try to mellow it down a little bit so you don't get scared and run out of the temple. I said, you better get out there and pick up all those sweets right now. Like that. And he did it. He ran out into the street and picked up all the sweets. It was amazing. He became a devotee all of a sudden. That heavy chastisement turned him into a devotee. Can you imagine that? He actually surrendered. Right in front of all the cars. There's a red light. There was all these cars sitting there. He went out right in front of the cars and picked up all the sweets and put it back in the basket. So anger can be used for Krishna to chastise the rascals. You know what chastise means? Chasten. Proper chastisement purifies the person who is chastised. So anger can be used for Krishna. What is the difference in the relationships between Lord Narayan and his devotees in Vaikuntha and between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan? It's more intimate. Sometimes we understand that our karma, when someone does something wrong to us, but other persons consider us fool and continues working wrongly, how to deal with the situation? Wait a minute. Well, you know, maybe they didn't do wrong. You thought they were doing wrong. That's the other side of it. Yeah, you really treated me poorly today, Prabhu, you know. Maybe my understanding was very poor. And I realized I deserved that. It was the greatest blessing I ever got in my life. When that devotee was tough with me about something I did or said. Maybe it was the greatest blessing in my whole spiritual life. You got to be introspective, you know. Don't be caught up in your own egotism. You have to see everything through the eyes of Scripture. Maybe you were wrong and they were right. So always keep that humble perspective. Of course, if something is clearly wrong, then you should say something about it. But you have to be careful, because our false egos can easily get in there and defend something we did wrong as being something we did right. If we come across the followers of such false gurus, should we directly try to prove how they are wrong? It depends. If somebody is receptive, you can tell them, certainly. But if somebody is not, that has become offensive. So preaching means you have to know when to say something and when not to say something. It's like Prabhupada describes in the Light of the Bhagavats. A great reformer. Now, is a devotee supposed to be a great reformer? Yes. Every devotee should be a great reformer who can transform world history. Every devotee should be that. Prabhupada describes the quality of a great reformer. He says that just as the rivers, this is the Light of the Bhagavatam says, that in the dry season, the river is dry. There's no river. And it flows during the rainy season. So the great reformer knows when to speak and when not to speak. So sometimes the best thing is to not to say anything. And sometimes the best thing is to say something. So how do you learn the art? Practice. You see other devotees, how they preached. You study how Prabhupada preached. And you get out and give it a try yourself and see what works. And see what doesn't work. You see? The Super Soul will guide you. If you put yourself out on a limb for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya will cover for you. That's why the more you preach, the more you become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because you'll be connected more and more with the Super Soul the more you preach. You said in the morning, our quality of chanting is directly proportional to our quality of Vaishnava relationships. Can you please elaborate? Many great acharyas did solitary bhajan. Those acharyas who did solitary bhajana, if they had association, it was first class association. Not that they didn't know how to associate. Due to highly hectic schedule of almost 12 hours a day, I'm not able to give time to missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, which is making bhakti a great struggle and very difficult. How to overcome this struggle, which is giving inferiority complex? Well, I assume you're making some money by working 12 hours a day. I hope. So you give your money. To those who are full-time preachers, you support them financially as much as you can. And that way, Prabhupada said, those who support the preachers get the same benefit as the preachers. Take your money and donate. By that donation, you'll get just as much. By supporting a preacher, you get as much benefit as the preacher gets by preaching. Prabhupada's words. What is the difference of roles of Prabhupada and spiritual master in our lives? Guru and Paraguru. Actually, Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya. So every guru in ISKCON is bona fide by repeating what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada's our one. Actually, we have one authority, and that's Prabhupada in ISKCON. He's the founder of Acharya. And nobody can be a guru within ISKCON unless they purely represent Prabhupada. If someone does not purely represent Prabhupada, they can be rejected. We had one guru who was taking, this is a long time ago, but he was actually taking LSD. He was sitting on the Vyasasan, stoned on LSD. Can you imagine? Yeah. And one of his disciples murdered him. It's some pretty gory histories we have. But that's just a crappy example. I was at ISKCON Guru in the very beginning, way back in 1980 or something, many decades ago. We've been through some rough times in ISKCON. And we're still here as Prabhupada's mercy. Can you imagine? We had some really rough times, but we're still here by Prabhupada's grace. Prabhupada's the one authority. Nobody can be an authority if they differ. They deviate from Prabhupada, then they're rejected. Only those who are strictly following Prabhupada are authorities. So he is the authority for all of us. That's the difference. Can you please tell any pastimes of Prabhupada which you like the most? Sure, I could do that. Next question. There's so many pastimes of Prabhupada that I like the most. Of course, the ones I actually realized when I was with them, those are very special. I've already told them before. Here, I've told you all before, but maybe someone's new, they haven't heard me. Just a little thing, just like I was at the Pittsburgh airport. Prabhupada was coming up the escalator. We had a big thing set up at the airport, a big greeting thing. It was like 300 or 400 devotees there. It was so wonderful. I just remember seeing Prabhupada coming up the escalator. I was looking and I could see his head. There he was, Prabhupada coming up the escalator. It was so nice. See Prabhupada's refulgent head. I saw him in the back. There's Prabhupada coming up the escalator. So nice. Just one little thing. That was a very special moment to see Prabhupada coming up the escalator, you know. Just one little tidbit there. And then myself, actually one devotee who's now departed, a dear God brother of mine, what was his name? I forget his name. Rasa something. Very nice God brother. He had an idea to make a fruit salad for Prabhupada to hand to the airport. So he took a watermelon and he cut the edge like a saw. He cut it in half and make sawtooth edges. This is some idea he had. Then he put scoop round pieces of watermelon, all kinds of other fruits inside this bowl of the watermelon shell. It was so nice. It's a fruit salad and a watermelon, half a watermelon shell. And then he had a Simply Wonderful was in it also. So that was offered, and I helped him make the fruit salad at the temple before we went to the airport. When we got to the airport, it was offered to Prabhupada. It was very interesting. What will Prabhupada take? He took the Simply Wonderful. A little pinch of the Simply Wonderful honored that, and then it was all distributed. It was, the devotees went wild in that fruit salad. That's a nice little remembrance. I got to help make that fruit salad that was offered to Prabhupada. That was very. Those little things are very special, you know. That I got to do a little something. I was just in the kitchen, you know. He said, "Can you help me make this fruit salad?" Sure. Just had to be at the right place in the right time. I got to help to make the fruit salad that was offered to Prabhupada at the airport. Okay. Is it true that after initiation, the guru takes away all the past sins of a devotee? 99.9999%. You get a little token to help you keep you sober. Actually, it passes through the spiritual master. It passes through the disciplic succession and goes to Krishna, who neutralizes it. Because it goes through the spiritual master. Prabhupada says sometimes the spiritual master has to get sick or experience difficulties. So don't put your... Once you've taken initiation, don't break the principles. Don't. The spiritual master gets a reaction if you break the principles. So don't put your spiritual master in difficulty. That's one reason it's recommended not to take many disciples. It's a great risk. The more the spiritual master accepts disciples, the more he can put himself into difficulty. So if you've taken initiation, be very true to your vows. Do not put your spiritual master into difficulty. How to overcome fault finding, overcome finding faults in others. Concentrate on seeing your own faults. And find those devotees who find fault with you. and associate with them as much as possible. Your fault finder is your best friend. While doing education, how to balance the study in Krishna consciousness, especially exams you're about to be 2 weeks later. Mind, try to do both. No, you have to first get up and study. I mean, first get up and chant. Put chanting first. Always prioritize chanting. One of our girls in Toronto, she was working on a master's degree, very intense studying. And she came home at the end of the day. She had a paper to write, an exam to study for. It was late in the evening, and so her bees was in there. She hadn't even started her rounds yet. She said, "Bee, what should I do? Should I study for the exam, write the paper, or chant my rounds?" She thought, "No, I better chant my rounds first." You see. Then once she chanted her round, then she knew why she was studying. I'm doing this for Krishna. Why she was writing the paper, I'm doing it all ultimately for Krishna's service. So you have to always put Krishna first. Whether you're working a job or you're studying, always put Krishna first. Because in this way you'll understand why you're doing these other things. You're doing them for your, so you can use them in Krishna's service. How do we overcome the false ego, as it is ever even subtler than intelligence and can't be defeated by our own selves? By reviving your real ego, Jivara Sarupahoi Krishnara Nichidas, your false ego is automatically conquered. How to keep enthusiasm in devotional service in adverse conditions? There's no such thing as an adverse condition, actually. If you think it's an adverse condition, you have an adverse attitude. Give up your adverse attitude and realize there's no such thing as an adverse condition. Krishna is putting you right now and at every minute in that situation which is the best for your spiritual advancement. Krishna loves you. Krishna wants you to come back to his abode as soon as possible. Krishna wants you to become a pure devotee as soon as possible. Therefore, at every minute, he is putting you into that situation which is most favorable for you to get out of the material world. So adversity is actually a blessing in disguise. Krishna is putting me in this difficult situation for a purpose. Even Prabhupada had an experience like that. It's described. He was in Los Angeles, and some of his disciples had associated with some of his godbrothers in India, and they had said, "Why he's called Prabhupada? Only Bhaktisiddhanta is called Prabhupada." They had planted doubt in the minds of these disciples. And this was spreading around ISKCON, subtly going around. Prabhupada could see signs of it. And he was very, very disturbed by this. Very, very disturbed. That's when he formed the GBC body. He called Tamal Krishna Maharaj, or Das Adhikari at that time, from Europe. He called Bhagavan. He called other devotees. He formed the GBC body. He told Tamal Krishna, he said, "Get me out of here." But he was so disturbed by the situation. He had worked so hard to establish this movement. Now he could see it was being undermined by this envy. He said, where can I take you, Prabhupada?" He said, "How about Florida? That's 3,000 miles away." He said, "No, it's not far enough." That's when Prabhupada came to India. That's how we got Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Mumbai. That's when Prabhupada came and started a movement in India. Otherwise, just only in America, in Europe a little bit. Prabhupada actually, before he left, he prayed to Rukmini Dwarka. He said, "Why you were kicking me away?" Even Prabhupada could not understand why this adverse condition has come. But then later on he said, "Now I understand. It was all Krishna's arrangement." You see? So if there's an adverse condition, it may not be clear why I'm in this adverse condition, but If you have that mood of Prabhupada, of just accepting whatever Krishna gives you, you'll see actually it was a great blessing. That so-called adversity was a great blessing. So you have to have that kind of faith in Krishna. And Krishna will never put you in a situation which is too difficult that you can't handle it. He will only put you in situations which are beneficial for your spiritual awakening. So try to take every situation for your spiritual awakening. We have about 1 minute left. How we should improve our chanting. Well, if you chant in the mood of chanting, which is begging Krishna to engage you in pure bhakti, if you're actually chanting in the right mood, then your chanting will naturally improve, because actually chanting properly means you're begging to be able to chant purely. You understand? So now just real quick here. How to improve our service attitude to serve the devotees. These devotees are your best friends. Oh, wait a minute. No more. That's it. Since Srila Prabhupada preached in many ways and also encouraged different devotees for varieties of projects, how do we know who is today representing Srila Prabhupada? It's very simple. Read the books. See who's preaching according to the books. It's not difficult. I took a survey here, how many brahmacharis have read all the books. There was only one. I think that was you. Yeah, only one devotee. I hope there's some more now I've read all the books. If you read all the books, you'll be very clear to see who's preaching according to the books. If you haven't read the books, you'll be wondering, well, I don't know what's going on here. I just somehow joined. I don't really know what's going on. They had me dressed like this, put this stuff in my throat. I don't know what's going on. I'm just kind of here because I don't know what else to do, you know. Don't be like that. That's not a Brahman, that's a Shudra. A learned Brahman means he is fixed in transcendental knowledge. You see. He studied the Vedic scriptures. He can quote the Vedic authorities. He knows the Shastra. You become learned in this philosophy. And then you'll know who's purely representing Prabhupada. It's a very simple name. Sometimes we think so much at chanting. We think so much of chanting. What? Sometimes we think so much at chanting. How to continue chanting. We don't feel the importance of shelter and chanting. Thing is, right now our chanting is imperfect, that's the thing. When you chant your rounds and Krishna reveals himself face to face, then you know you're chanting some really good japa. Really good japa. Until that point, we're still in the darkness of ignorance. I'm just seeing the material energy. I'm not experiencing Krishna face to face. You just have to have faith in the process, keep chanting, and gradually the sweetness, the pure nectar will come. Just like it's stated in the Nectar of Instruction. And this chanting is, in the beginning, is like poison. It's like jaundice. Sugar candy is horribly bitter for a jaundice patient. So the holy name is sometimes bitter for us right now. We don't feel like chanting, but we do it in the order of the spiritual master. As the physician orders the patient to take sugar candy, the Guru Maharaj orders us to chant. So we chant. It's medicine. By taking the medicine faithfully, the healing process will happen and you will gradually experience the sweetest nectar in chanting Hare Krishna. So dutifully chant on the order of your spiritual master, dutifully chant on the order of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that day of awakening will come, man. So we thank you all very much for tuning in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. May you all be blessed with pure Shuddha Nam. Hare Krishna.
Let's go to the next one.